Time now to bring in our Denver 7 insider, Colorado Sportscaster of the Year, Troy Ranke. He's presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. Troy, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Well, we're doing great. Hey, any insight into how this whole general manager thing went down between Joe Ellis and John Elway? John Elway moving out of that role into the kind of grand poobah of all things football role.
Yeah, about 3 weeks ago, Joe Ellis and John Elway began talking about the situation, the situation with the team, the struggles the Broncos have had. And Ellis kind of asked Elway at that time, how do you see yourself going forward? What is it you're kind of seeking in terms of this job, the lifestyle, your goals? Where do you want to be? You know, it's no secret John's getting older. These jobs are not for, you know, they're jobs for folks that want to grind 70, 80 hours. Does that make sense? What was clearly becoming a rebuilding project, not a one or two signing of free agency to fix. So, you know, I don't say it's an ideal scenario, but it was a way to move Elway out of the role without firing him. If Elway had protested, you know, Ellis didn't say unequivocally that there would not have been change. The key now going forward is that Elway not meddle, and you have to give the new GM independence and authority. There's always going to be suspicion that that's not the case because John's still in the building. But I do think as this progresses that the new GM will definitely be in charge of daily operations. Elway will be involved in big decisions. It sounds like that's kind of the idea, but more to run it past him than to have him just swoop in and say, this is what we're going to do. So has a chance to work, but you've got to give the new GM independence and authority.
What is the role of John Elway, and like, what will he be asked to do?
It's more involving big decisions. He's more like a consultant, the way it's been described to me. So yeah, he would be involved in the Von Miller decision, big free agent signings, but it's my understanding he wouldn't be able to, you know, if you have a consensus built and then all of a sudden him just say, no, we're not doing this. He weighs in on it based on his experience and his knowledge of the Broncos and his standing in the organization. But it's not supposed to be the same as it was, where he could literally go in and say, untie the shoelace and say, no, we're doing it this way. I don't think that will be the case. I really don't, but I might be a little naive to that. I certainly know that he won't be involved in the daily operations and, you know, the waiver wire and the practice squad and all that. He definitely won't be involved in that. The key will be on these big decisions, Mark. How much influence will he have? Will it be an issue of him trying to rubber stamp something? Him saying, no, this is the way we're going to go? Again, if it's going to be that way, then you really begin to undermine your own general manager. So they have to be very careful on that.
Troy, when this news first came down, my first thought was this is a great opportunity to cast a wide net, to really get a chance to talk to a lot of different candidates, get a lot of different views from guys who are part of different organizations so that you can get a really, really well-rounded idea of what's out there in the football world. Are you encouraged in the early going with the depth of how this search is shaping up and the different kind of names that are emerging?
Yeah, I mean, remember, they are trying to find... They're looking for guys who have at least a little familiarity with Fangio, but I don't know that will be a deal breaker. But yeah, you're talking about Champ Kelly, Dave Ziegler, George Patton, Terry Fontenot, Brian Stark from in-house. I would think Ed Dobbs for me would get an interview from the Colts, but you're looking at, you know, five different type organizations. That's a good start. I don't think it ends there. I think they'll probably ultimately interview up to 7-8 GM candidates before making a decision, kind of narrowing the list and doing the interviews. I think 8 my interview via Zoom and then narrow it down to a follow up because they want to do the kind of the final interviews in person if permissible. But yeah, I mean, you do use this time to glean information from other organizations. Part of the issue though is you have so many GM openings. The Texans filled theirs last night. That's why I think Ziegler stays with the Patriots, but because Nick Casario ended up going to the Texans from the Patriots. But you also have to be careful and mindful, Mike, that there's so many openings. You have to still be able to move this fairly quickly, too. You don't want to be too methodical where you're left with no chair when the music stops.
What about the guys who have done it before? Guys like John Dorsey, Thomas Dimitroff, Rick Smith, guys who have been there, who've got the experience, who've run an organization before?
That hasn't been the priority yet. It doesn't mean it won't be. Dorsey's an interesting name based on his success in the, with Kansas City and Cleveland. His personality's a little, you know, a little abrasive. Would he work well with Fangio, you know, and work well in this structure? I don't know that. I mean, this isn't an ideal job for someone who's done it before in that regard that's been successful, because it is still, you know, Joe Ellis's contract up in March of 2022, Elway's contract up in a year, the unstable ownership. So to get someone who's like a proven GM, it would be a harder sell for, you know, just for me looking at it objectively. I think you do have to make some of those calls just to see. Rick Smith's a guy who's always had a good relationship with Elway. They've made multiple trades. That's someone I would definitely probably interview just to see where he's at. He hasn't done the job for a few years. Jerry Reese, formerly of the Giants, is that a guy you call just to see where his head's at, if he's interested? But I it does feel like it's going to be someone who's been on the high-rising track to become a GM, not someone who's been a GM. Again, this is a fluid situation, but the Broncos situation isn't perfect. They have resources. They want to win. They've always said they're committed to winning, but it is still a weird situation with the former GM still in the building, a coach who struggled, no clear answer at quarterback, unstable ownership issues kind of hanging out there. It's not the perfect job for someone who's maybe been at a team and won before in a different structure.
Visiting with Troy Rank, what was your takeaway to Joe Ellis kind of putting a target date out there as to when this whole ownership situation has to be resolved, March of 2022?
Yeah, I mean, they need clarity in it. I mean, no one's naive to that. They point to the trial as an important date. I mean, now listen, they could put the team up for sale before that, but it'd be a little greasy because it would want the, if you, once you have the trial over the mental capacity of Pat Bowlen and that Beth Bowlen Wallace and her sister Amy Klemmer are challenging the amendments to the trust, if the trust wins that, and that's what Joe Ellis predicted that they would win, it would validate the trust in their role, allow them to then, you know, again, follow the dots here, say Brittany's going to be, Brittany Bowlen's the handpicked successor, and then try to get the siblings to agree to that. That seems unlikely to me based on the drama that's gone on in the family the last several years. But then you go to that, and then they say, well, we cannot agree. Well, then do you try to buy out a couple of them? Or then do you just say, you know what, this isn't working, we're going to put it up for sale. But it does put a target date of March 22nd, because that's when Ellis's contract for the trust to run it for the NFL expires as well. The NFL has always said the Broncos have been in compliance, but they do not want the litigation. They are over that. They want this thing resolved, not with a sense of urgency like yesterday, but they're not going to let it play out for another couple of years. So that's why that trial is becomes important, that at least could get a chain of events moving either toward the siblings agreeing to one person as the controlling owner, which seems unlikely as we sit here right now, or facilitates that, hey, this isn't going to happen. We need to now put this team on the market and sell it to an outside buyer.
Troy, how is this maybe state of limbo affecting the way the team is being run? Our buddy Sandy Clough said the only reason Fangio and his staff haven't been fired is because the team is setting up to sell, and they don't want to have more coaches' salaries on the books to hand over to a new owner. Is there anything to that?
I don't think that's the case. Ellis likes Joe Ellis likes Vic Fangio. He's in his corner. I mean, yes, let's be honest that they don't want to turn over an entire new staff and be paying, you know, 15 coaches, and then you have to pay the new staff while you're kind of in this limbo. That's true. I don't think Fangio would have been fired. You know, would there have been maybe a couple of changes in the coaching staff? Perhaps. But Ellis has had a separate relationship with Fangio. He likes Fangio. I asked him directly about it yesterday, and he defended Fangio. And he said, I know fans in Broncos country are frustrated, and the anger is boiling over, and they wish we had change. But he's like, I think this can still work. I believe it will work. Again, I think they're giving Vic a little bit too much credit. I wouldn't have him involved in the GM search. I would basically just tell him this is the direction we're going. It doesn't mean he can't still. I think it's on him to figure out how to work with the new GM, not him kind of choosing a GM that works well with him. Vic hasn't gotten that credence from me.
He hasn't been over 500 for one day in 2 years as a head coach. I don't know that I would give him the authority to be involved in the GM search other than to say, hey, here's some of the guys we're looking at. But that is complicated. I don't think they would have made change. I don't think it's prevented some of the changes, but you're right, Mike, in that they don't want to be paying 30 coaches' salaries with this kind of looming date of March 22nd, March of 2022 sitting out there as a possible time when there could be ownership movement.
All right, now, just to clarify this for us, if you could, Vic said yesterday that he will have input, but that the ultimate decision will come down to Joe and John, that he will not be involved in the decision-making process. Is that your understanding, too, or no? Is he involved?
The way it's been described to me is John will make the hire. But John Elway, Vic Fangio, Joe Ellis, and Patrick Smyth are scheduled to be part of the interviews. So if you're allowing someone in the interview room, they're going to have their input. You don't allow them in the interview process and then not have them have input. So, but it's my understanding that John would still be the loudest voice in this. And then you have the other three there, obviously involved. They just have to be careful. For me, Vic can't be making this hire. It doesn't make sense. Now, again, if you want to argue that he can make this hire because this GM might only be here for a couple years and Vic's got a couple years, I guess. But Vic's got enough on his plate, for me. Like, he needs to become a better head football coach and help them win on the field. I don't need him tangled in the front office issues right now. I need him focused on his staff and figuring out the on-field product. But if their argument is the better he gets along with this new GM, that will help the on-field product, I guess. I just think that's a little short-sighted.
All right, Troy. Thanks, buddy.
You got it. See ya.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Insider, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air.